The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, our Gospel reading today has this very colorful image of Jesus one day coming to the apostles and telling them that it was now their time to continue his work. It would be a test run, and he paired them up, right? And he probably didn't put Judas with Peter or Matthew, and he probably knew who would get along well with each other, and sent them off to continue his mission. This is really the only religion where the founder, right? Jesus is, he's more than a founder, right? But if you were to just kind of look at world religions, he chose to involve us in his work. You know, he could have just done it all himself. He could have just snapped his fingers and sort of did that, and we were just to kind of be onlookers, you could say, spectators to what he was doing, but Jesus didn't want that. He wanted me and you, us back then, to do what he was doing. I think that should tell us something about what it means to be a Christian today in our little part of Charlotte, where all of us are continuing his mission. Now, Jesus did something that was very beautiful, very human of him, which was to take normal parts of our life, of God's creation, and to fill them with grace. So, water, a simple thing. Jesus took water and he used it to begin baptism. And then he took oil. And he said to the apostles, "Carry this with you and anoint those who are sick." Later, he would take bread and wine, simple, ordinary things, and he would turn them into the Eucharist, the bread of life. Those simple human realities became our sacraments. We don't call them the seven symbols of the church. We call them the seven sacraments, because a symbol would just be a symbol. It wouldn't really be what it was supposed to be, but a sacrament, even though it has a symbolic sign to it, actually does what Jesus said it does. Now, the reading today talks about the apostles, you know, throwing out demons and anointing people with oil. So I wanted to talk about those two things, and I thought, you know, the exorcism stories might be a little too much for a homily, so let's just go to anointing of the sick. What does it mean? Where did it kind of come from today in the early church? And how can we maybe learn from what the church teaches about how to live the sacrament better in our life? So I brought, you probably noticed, some of you, that this little glass jar here has a lot of olive oil in it. Now, we blessed this oil on Tuesday of Holy Week. All the priests, or many of the priests, went to the cathedral with the bishop, and it was a beautiful mass with all the priests there and the bishop in the altar. We had all these huge jars full of oil, and we all prayed over them. We do that every year. And then after the service, the deacons distributed the different, you know, they took the oil from the big containers and put them in the smaller ones, and we brought them back here. So we have this oil at the door of the church, the three oils of the church. This is the oil for the sick, and I carry it with me wherever I go. I have it there in my glove compartment of my car, and I have it in my office and over at my house. And anytime there's a phone call where someone needs to be anointed, you sort of race out the door, but you make sure you've got your holy oil. Now, back in the time of Jesus, using oil was just something everyone, they had it, you know, it was, if you had an open wound, you would pour oil in that wound, right? They didn't have hydrogen peroxide and things we use today, so it was a very common thing to use and to carry with you. But just imagine those apostles, the first time they got to a little village, the two of them there, and there's a blind person at the entrance to the village, and they realize, you know, Jesus said that we gotta cure them, you know, we gotta do a miracle. And they may have looked at each other kind of wondering who was gonna go first, or, you know, flipped a coin or something to see who would have to be the first one to try the working a miracle. And just imagine the surprise and the emotion when they realized that Jesus, who wasn't physically with them in that moment, was working through them as the person regained their sight. And so in the early church, anointing of the sick, it had those two realities. One, it was a spiritual healing, but it often had this miraculous physical healing. Now, as the apostles, when Jesus went up to heaven, he ascended, and the apostles started going to different places, the men and women that were beginning the church in all those different places, they kept doing the seven sacraments. But in certain places, it looked a little different, right? And in some places, since the letter of James says, if you're sick, call for the priests to come. So in some places, it was a sacrament that only multiple priests could do. You had to have at least two, because James said it, you know, he used the plural. In other places, it was just the priest. Everywhere, it was always the bishop who would bless the oil, and it was the priests who would distribute the oil. Now, over time, there were some questions about, you know, whether you could receive anointing of the sick more than once, right? You can only be baptized once, and you would be confirmed once, and I was ordained a priest only once, but could you be anointed multiple times? That was a question that certain places had, and it wasn't until they all got together at a council where they decided that since most of the churches were anointing people multiple times, that the sacrament was for anytime you needed it. But there wasn't really any, maybe let's say, a beautiful explanation as to what it actually meant, right, when you were anointed, because often nothing seemed to happen. Well, I thought I would explain that to you today, because we do have, from Vatican II, back in the 60s, when the bishops got together, they wrote something very powerful about anointing of the sick. And one of the things that they were trying to recommend for the church worldwide was a lot of people were waiting to the last minute to be anointed. And it was in some countries like Italy, and I'm part Italian, so I can kind of say a little thing about Italy. They're very superstitious. And so calling the priest was, you just didn't want to see the priest walking through the hospital, right, or coming to your home, because it meant you were given up. The end was there, was near. So often it would be too late, right, when we would get the phone call to come and anoint someone. And so the church recommended that what is actually happening here is that when you receive a sacrament, you begin to receive Christ. In our baptism, we begin to participate in the sonship of Christ. We become children of God. When we go to the sacrament of reconciliation to ask forgiveness, we receive the mercy of Christ. When we come to the altar, as we will this evening, to receive the bread of life, we receive the body of Christ. When I was ordained a priest, you would say, I received the priesthood of Christ. When you are anointed with oil, you receive a share in the cross of our Lord. You receive a share in the passion of our Lord, so that your suffering, that illness, whatever it is that's weighing you down, isn't empty, isn't meaningless, but that suffering is joined to Christ, and you become, through this sacrament, another Simon of Cyrene. That man had a huge blessing in his life. He was just out in the fields one day, coming back to Jerusalem for the Sabbath, and all of a sudden he gets pulled aside and told to carry the cross of Jesus. And he's on one side and Jesus is on the other, and together they brought that cross up to Mount Calvary. That became the greatest blessing of Simon's life, and we have that blessing through the anointing, which is why it's important to be anointed at the beginning of an illness, so that the whole time that you're carrying that cross, you're receiving that presence of Jesus alongside of you. And that was a whole lot of theology, right? And it was pretty maybe deep, or at least I hope it was, right? But this sacrament is something we want to offer often here. Every first Saturday after the 5 p.m. Mass, we have anointing for anyone who's there. And we've also learned over time, right, that nowadays we can, when you go to the doctor, you'll know if you have a really difficult illness ahead of time, right? In a sense, the suffering can be very long. Or we know that mental illnesses are really a disease. And so whatever your suffering is, right, you can come to be anointed. And as we participate in that life of Christ, remember that his mission that he sent the apostles on continues within us as well. That when we leave here with his presence in our soul, we are being sent out like those apostles, just like them. It's really no different. It's our time today in our little part of Charlotte to make sure that everyone in this area hears the good news. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.